This is Housebound. I'm Chris.
I'm Holly.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Greg.
And you're invited. Welcome to Housebound, a podcast we made because we needed company. In it, we talk about things that are on our minds, and this is our third Christmas or holiday episode that we are doing today.
Happy holiday!
We've made it to the third end of year holiday. And just before we started recording, Holly was talking about, like, we just finished eating a bunch of chicken for lunch, and we're going to have pasta for supper. And so it's
I feel like we're
in the mood of like the holiday episode mood.
Like
we're all just
fireplace.
Nappy. Yeah, we're ready to fall asleep. Yeah. And so perfect timing. But yeah, for our holiday episodes, if this is your first one that you are joining us for, welcome. We like to talk about Christmas related things.
Yeah.
We all talk about Christmas related things. Ashlyn loves to talk about Christmas related things.
Okay. Can I before we get started on too many other Christmas things, I want to have a cool segue just in case the last episode you just listened to was our house episode and now you're zooming in to our Christmas episode. One of the things I'm so excited about this house is decorating it for Christmas
because you have so much space to decorate.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're vibrating. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited. Okay. So this house has so much decorating potential. Yes. So
you could have a tree in every room.
Well, that's a really good idea. But so whoever designed this house was clearly prepared for a white family who loves Christmas to move in here, because there is a plug-in on the roof of the house
lights
that is routed to a light switch in our entryway closet,
so, nice.
So that you can turn on the lights from inside the house. And I'm so excited. So we took down the old Christmas lights because they were terrible and broken and awful. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to get Greg to put new Christmas lights.
You should have done that already. It already snowed.
I know, but I'm still going to get him to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to be fine. And then we were talking about how there's a main stairway right at the entrance. Won't that look good with garland?
Yes, it will. It will look great.
And there's so much railings because it's all the way up the stairs and then up the next set and then all the way around half the living room. The railing continues. Mm-hmm. So just imagine.
Have you saved up?
For garland? You don't need money for garland.
Yeah, sure you do.
No, go to Dollarama.
And all the lights that you're going to buy? And the multiple Christmas trees?
It's going to be great.
You can't shatter Ashlyn's joy.
Ashlyn hasn't spent her...
You should have bought these things in the summertime when nobody wanted them.
She hasn't spent her monthly allowance in a year.
Yeah.
Actually 100% true. So.
But yeah, I think we'll probably only have one actual Christmas tree up in the living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting
room. You could put one in here as well.
Yeah, I think we might have some sort of cozy lights down here, and then the garland on the stairs.
But. Well, then you could put garland around those windows over there.
Oh,
yeah, I could. Just so pumped about
this house is going to be so festive.
I don't quite enjoy decorating to the same level. So this will be a challenge for me, but I will accept it and embrace it with a warm hug of hot chocolate.
We can do a Christmas craft that you can...
A Christmas craft?
Yeah.
I love Christmas.
A Christmas gram? I want one of those.
Christmas gram?
Is this from a movie? Yeah. Hey, speaking of movies, everybody, let's just right off the top of your head, since we're already starting down that road, let's everybody want to go around the table and have you list five, or up to five if you can't think of five.
Five Christmas-themed
movies that you love.
Die Hard 1.
Not just
Die
five.
Die Hard 2.
Just that you love.
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man
3. It's true. It's by the same director.
That's Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he always sets his stuff in Christmas.
Truth.
It's good.
Yeah.
Which is why it was weird that came out in summer.
Yes.
That was dumb. Anyways. Okay. Sorry. Elf?
Yeah.
I
love Actually.
Yeah. Love Actually, is that Christmas time?
Yes.
That's actually a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to argue that Die Hard is, then
I do appreciate it. Yes.
I mean, I did say Christmas themed movies, yep. But I guess they could happen at Christmas time.
No, like there's definitely like, well, I think so long as the movie doesn't just have a brief glimpse of Christmas.
Here's the thing.
So Die Hard?
Die Hard would not happen if it was not Christmas.
Yeah, time. That Christmas party is happening.
It's because they are having a Christmas party.
Yeah. Right. I would argue that it's not a Christmas themed movie, though. It's just like a coincidence that it's happening. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's a great excuse to watch an action movie at Christmas.
Yes. Agreed.
Do we have more? Do we have
Yeah, there's lots more.
More that you love. Up to five.
Yeah,
Elf the is Grinch really good. That stole
the
Christmas.
Grinch that yeah. stole Christmas,
but the cartoon one,
the cartoon, not the mm-hmm. yeah. movies or anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind the live action one.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
but yeah, it's just not as nostalgic.
No, mm-hmm. The cartoon is definitely
like the animated mm-hmm. cartoon really or the yeah. like 2020
ish. No, Benedict Cumberbatch. 20, no,
that, not that mm-hmm. one. Okay,
I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't either.
We have.
And then what's the VeggieTales Christmas movie?
The toy that saved Christmas?
Yes. That
I don't
one.
Know that
there's
one.
Also, yeah.
Star of Christmas.
There's also one that they have. Is that what it's called? Okay. There's like a Christmas and an Easter one where they yeah. mixed the titles up on purpose oh. so that the Christmas one oh, sounds confusing. Like it's an Easter titled one and vice versa.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That's like the nativity?
Like the Star of Easter is the Easter one instead of the Christmas one. And oh. then the Christmas one is like, yeah, it's like a, yeah. I remember reading the titles and being like, oh, that was clearly intentional yeah. to like drive attention to the story as yeah. opposed to the
I did not enjoy title, A Christmas but... Story, I think is what it's called. It's with the kid with glasses.
Yeah. On the cover. The Christmas Story. The yeah. Christmas Story. His name's like Archie or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we bought that from like a $5 bin.
Lots
at Walmart,
of people love that like, movie, nope. So you better...
Yeah,
watch it.
I'm sorry. It just wasn't for me.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Or Ashlyn.
I also have one that is not for me, but...
Oh, well then, don't do... It's movies that you love. That's what I have written on
here. Fine.
Okay, great. Sounds great. Anybody else got movies that they love?
I mean, yeah, like Paddington has a snowball scene at the end.
Whatever.
For me, that's like Christmassy.
It's so wintry.
Oh, it's so
generally, every Christmas, we watch a few different, like, new Christmas movies that are coming out that season. Mm-hmm. And I love me a good cheesy movie, but
like
even those
one.
Are, they,
there's some
they
pretty
really
bad.
Push the envelope
yeah.
on
oh, dear.
Acceptable watching.
Yeah.
So I think Elf and Love Actually is going to be my complete list.
Elf or game. Elf?
What about the Grinch?
Elf and the Grinch.
It's not as good as Elf and
Die
Actually.
Hard.
Okay. Die Hard, mm-hmm. Iron Man 3.
Yep.
Okay, well, my list is a bit bigger than yours. That's okay.
Here's my list. I also had How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated one on it.
Nice.
Frosty Returns. I really like the sequel to Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, I've never seen it.
It's one that wow. used to always play on TV. They would do Frosty
the
and then Frosty Return.
One?
No, you're thinking of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
yeah.
probably.
Well, there is also a Frosty one that's claymation.
Okay, I'm not thinking of that one.
Okay.
Mm. There's Frosty... The Snowman, which is like an old cartoon. Mm-hmm. And then there's Frosty Returns, which is much newer and has a different style of animation. Mm. But I like
is
that
it edgier?
One.
Edgier?
It's just like, well, it's different
More
than the original story. Grittier. It's just different than the original story. And so I like it because you hear the original story all the time. And the song is about the original story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the sequel is a different story. And it's more interesting
yeah.
to me because
okay.
I'm listening to the song. I hear the story already. I don't want to watch a movie exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't
Frosty
know.
Returns.
I haven't thought about
it too
much.
You need to hear Burt Ives, though.
Burt.
Isn't that his name?
Burl Ives?
Burl Ives.
We're going to Google it right sure. now because rest in peace. He doesn't know. Deserve to be
So what is the besmirched. Plot of Frosty Returns?
Yeah.
Frosty now Googling comes now. Back
it
to
is,
the town.
It's Burl Ives. He
now
does.
Equipped with an opioid addiction. How will he cope?
Frosty returns. No.
How? He has no circulatory system.
I believe it has something to do with a evil businessman that is making it be warm all year round so that people don't ever have to shovel their snow. So that just melts.
What? Okay.
And he might have this like solution that you spray on snow that makes it disappear or something to that mm-hmm. effect. And he's getting lots of money and getting lots of traction. And then Frosty shows up and befriends these kids. And these kids yeah. are like, oh no, Frosty's going to die if they go through with this.
Sprayed
if it becomes,
with the stuff.
And so they have to kind of like try to change his heart on it kind of thing. Kind of sort of like the animated, the Illumination Entertainment's version of the Lorax. Where you have like the guy trying to sell air and he's like, no, kill everything. Yeah. I can sell air. You don't need trees or whatever. Kind of
Gremlins.
Kind of has that vibe.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Oh. I've seen it once.
I'm just looking at a list of Christmas movies right now. It's like there's some shockers on here. Like, how is that a Christmas movie? Mm-hmm. But like, so, Edward Scissorhands, I'd never watched it.
No.
Yeah,
I'm never
just surprised that's Little Women. That was a really good movie. I think there's probably one scene that takes place at Christmas.
Yeah, like the first scene is Christmas, but that's about it.
Batman Returns?
Yeah, that one's Christmas time.
Yes. With Catwoman?
Yes.
Interesting.
So I like The Grinch That Stole Christmas. I like Frosty Returns. The Muppet Christmas Carol is one that I love.
That's a good one.
I never
Yeah.
It's like
that reminds me of Christmas.
That one is like a solid
with the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the Christmas Carol, the story of the Carol?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Muppet Christmas Carol is Gonzo and Rizzo.
I think I've seen screenshots from it, but I'm not totally convinced I've ever seen it.
We're
going to
watch it this year.
We can watch it.
We have to watch it.
I don't even like the Muppets that'll be on Disney Plus, much, and I enjoy that one.
Almost definitely. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not convinced I ever watched it.
Mm-hmm. So I like that one.
Santa Claus with Tim Allen, that also reminds me. I don't think I necessarily enjoy that movie, but I definitely remember watching
it. I don't think I've seen it all the way through. But I have seen whichever one of the one is the one with the comedian. He plays Jim Jack Carey? Frost.
Jack Black.
No, it's not. No. Martin Short. Oops. Martin Short.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
He plays Jack Frost in like the second or the third one. I've seen that one all the way through, but I haven't seen. And Disney Plus is just coming out right now. We're recording this in 2022. Mm-hmm. Is coming out with the Santa Claus is. It's a TV show. It's like a multi-episode show about his grown-up family and kind of the whole premise of the Santa Claus, but over again with his kids, I guess. So, I don't care that much about that. But the other two that I really like, Arthur Christmas. That was a movie that came out in like 2012, 2011 or something around there. It is an animated movie. It's about the youngest of the Clauses that kind of has to step up and deliver a present to a kid that Santa missed delivering a present to. And it's just kind of a gong show.
How could he?
And there's like there's like the grandpa who used to be the Santa Claus and he's like out of his mind loony and he goes along for the ride and stuff like that. It's such a bizarre movie. And it's like it was like really well done, I thought. And then my fifth one that I actually enjoy is one that Netflix came out with a few years ago called Klaus. And
we watched
it's really good animation.
It is really good animation.
Mm-hmm. It almost has
I don't think Ashlyn enjoyed it as much.
No, it's not like a super phenomenal movie, but I just really like the different take on it. And it's about for those of you that haven't seen, it's about a postman who encounters this old toy maker who's kind of a recluse. And he is like, hey, we both live in or near or adjacent to, I'm not very sure, this like very miserable town that likes to do miserable things to each other, like cut the legs off of each other's houses and then the houses tip over or something. They like to like just like hate each other. It's like I don't know what's the town
like
even
a Romeo and Juliet type thing where there's two family divisions, right? They're like a kind of like a Capulet sort of like that kind
sort of
thing.
And then they're like, well, let's if you build these, if you take these toys that you've built and done nothing with, I will give them to kids. And then kids start figuring out, oh, if we write letters to Klaus. And the postman's really ticked off about this because the postman's like, well, I'm not doing anything. Like,
just,
nobody writes letters.
Delivery man.
Yeah, just delivery. Anyways, kind of a very fun take on it. So
I didn't see that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that was movies.
Charlie Brown Christmas is
Christmas. Charlie Brown. That is a classic.
But I
like that one.
I do find that Charlie Brown, like, it's just such a somber, like, tone that they have throughout it. Like, it's just so interesting that that's like a kid's cartoon, right? It's not like that exuberant happy-go-lucky kind of like
I'm just
thing.
Like
it's
in my mind
a kid's cartoon.
Christmas time is here.
Happiness and cheer.
Charlie Brown is a kid.
I really like
happiness and cheer.
I think probably the most interesting portion of that movie to me is just like the mental picture I have of Linus leaning with his blanket on this stone wall, or I think it's a stone wall, and then Charlie Brown's there and he was like, And he's like, well, it's when the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, mm-hmm. he said, behold, I bring you good, like, and he says like the Christmas story yeah. to Charlie mm-hmm. Brown. And it's just like, I don't know. There's just something like about that, just like being in a film, just being in an animated kids film. And it's not even like a religious film. It's mm-hmm. just like the Christmas story as we knew it. And so I think as a kid, that was very enticing to me because I was like, oh, here's secular entertainment that is talking about what I know as the Christmas story, mm-hmm. which is like the birth of mm-hmm. Jesus. But most of the stuff that gets made that's enjoyable isn't that stuff. It's stuff about Santa Claus. Yeah. So it's just yeah. kind of how it goes. It's the commercialized version of Christmas, which is why today's episode, 15 minutes into the episode, we're getting into it. Yeah. The premise the of today's sequence. Episode is the commercialization of Christmas. Mm. Not necessarily, don't want to make this out to be a bad thing or a negative thing. Mm. I just would love to talk about it. We just like movies is prime example. I think we just walked right into that one.
Yeah.
So, what is it about Christmas that makes movies such a marketable season? Like Hallmark basically makes all mm-hmm. their money off of Christmas yeah. movies.
Because Netflix is starting to home and lonely.
And that's enticing to people to be lonely?
No, it's not.
Enticing to but for they people need, to feel the warmth of Christmas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they need to feel like they have connection. And so then they watch Hallmark movies about people that find connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's getting cold and people need just more warmth in their lives.
Is there like a reciprocal holiday that we could have darker. In the middle of summer when it's warm and people want to be cold?
Canada Day? No, what
just like
question?
A recipient. Just like,
wants yeah. people to sit inside and have the AC blast oh. so that he can be comfortable at some point in the summer.
Yeah, I just want to have a reciprocal holiday for people yeah. like, people such as myself.
I don't know. No, maybe there's like a reading day that.
Reading day. Well, you can't take a week off work for reading day. Yeah. So. That's not going to happen.
They're not going to give you a week off of work in the summertime.
No. Mm-hmm. But it's called summer vacation.
For me, like, yeah. so much of the mood of summer is having to do with the decorations of summer. You know?
Christmas?
Like,
summer?
Wow.
Summer decoration. Yeah. So late at night on
this
May 31st.
Is incredible for summer decorations, guys.
We get up late.
We put up umbrellas. Yeah, yeah. And we're even going to put a whole load of sand in
yes.
the room.
In the corner
it will
over
be
there.
A beach. My yep. aphasia is kicking in. Christmas. The lovely decorations
about.
Of
yes.
Christmas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. just kind of like set the mood mm-hmm. of like wanting to be like cozy and snuggly yeah. and like mm-hmm. sit inside and bake cookies
hot chocolate
and hang yes. out with friends yep. and mm-hmm. peppermint is in the air
but okay yes. it doesn't have to
and
be in the air. Can just be in that person's cup that yeah. despicable person who decided to add that.
Yes. I do have to say that I wish we could avoid the peppermint aspect of Christmas.
I don't
like
mind it.
Like
but there
I'm
are
not
lots
a fan
of other
of peppermint.
Flavors
yeah. I know but it's just like everywhere when it comes to Christmas related things you just mm-hmm. you can't trust
there's a
anything
lot of it, yeah
if you're having like I mean I guess it's maybe in cookies regardless but yeah. pretty much every other like if you go to like an Easter
mm-hmm.
Gathering of some sort you're likely not going to get like I find it's mostly just like shortbread and like neutral flavored things mm-hmm. But Christmas is just wild for like what's in these I don't know just stuff from around the house okay I'll pass by.
You can't trust everyone's cooking.
Let's talk about some Christmas themed stories that you're fond of. So
stories.
don't think movies.
Yeah.
They could be things that have been turned
Jotham's
into movies.
Journey.
What is Jotham's Journey?
Jotham's Journey was this. It was the first book. And
it sounds
it was also
like Pilgrim's
Tabitha's
Progress,
Travel.
The sequel.
Okay, yeah. So these were like Christmas Advent kids books that were written to have a cliffhanger at the end of every day. And so it's and it takes place in like biblical times. And so it's of these like each series had a different kid. And so Jotham's Journey, I think he was like a shepherd boy or something like that. Oh, and so eventually it leads up to the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
But there's the evil villain Deco, a De- uh, De- De- Becca of Megiddo or something like that, who's like chasing after this kid. And anyways, there's like stuff's happening, and it's just like, it was like edge of your seat.
When you say at the end of Advent, every day, oh, is each day of Advent.
Every day you would read you'd read a portion of the story. And so parents would read their kids this, and the kids would want to like keep going, keep reading.
Yeah, well, I guess you'll have to wait until tomorrow. You'll have to
wait until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was
Did they
epic.
Have like morals me, or something like that?
What? I don't know, probably.
Was it attached to Christmas at all?
It was just a fascinating story, and it was of these like kids, and it was really good.
I've never heard of it.
Me Loved either. It. It was very much like a homeschooling.
Oh, okay. That's what I was picturing.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I was waiting for, the morals.
It was.
And no, that's why Jotham had a quiverful. Like,
what?
A quiverful.
I don't know.
Have you heard of quiverful?
Why are you saying?
No.
Quiverful is like short for, so there is like blessed are the... somewhere in the Bible it talks about having a quiverful of children.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so families that have like 19 kids are like later on in life or something. The joke didn't land.
I'm sitting here explaining it.
I accept that now. I'm sorry.
I'm going to move on.
Anyways, so exciting. If you guys had been kids and had this read to you, you would think the exact same thing. It was like epic storytelling as a kid.
There is a book that I don't know if it's Christmas, but it makes me feel like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's by Robert Munsch. Mm. And it is about a snowstorm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the one where the kid goes out in the middle of the night. It's like 50 below zero or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. I don't remember.
His dad
it
is
well.
Like sleepwalking or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
And he has to bring him back in.
Yeah.
Robert Munsch is a phenomenal author.
But
if I had to buy a bunch of books for a kid, I would just make sure he or she got all of the Robert Munsch books. Like that.
They are lovely.
I'd love to do those.
But I can remember a page from it in which it's like the middle of the night. So a page as in the illustration for this book where it's the middle of the night and the light from the house is spilling out onto the snow in the yard, and the snow is like high and there's like a barn or something and like trees with all of their snow on it. But it's just so like still, and the illustration is just done so well that this story just makes me feel like Christmas. Yeah, it might be 50 below zero. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
it could be a different book altogether, but that's the one we both thought of.
Yeah.
Three minds are better than one. So
mm-hmm.
I find it way easier to come up with stories of like the birth of Christ as a Christmas story, because that's what we are celebrating Christians will celebrate around the end of December. But I find it way easier to come up with story examples of that event than I can think of memorable movie examples. So it's not too surprising that we have, whether it's homeschooled or not, like I really liked, like my mom would read us kids the best Christmas pageant ever.
Yes, I do know that one.
Every year. And it's like a really, really short book. It's like maybe 6 or 7 chapters, and like each chapter is like 4 or 5 pages. Like it's a really quick read. That's essentially about a family of no good children that just kind of do whatever they want because their parents don't care or aren't around for them to take care of them. And they kind of terrorize the town throughout the year, just doing whatever they want. And then the Christmas pageant comes up and they all volunteer to be involved with it. And the church, the adults, especially in the church, are like, I think it's written from the point of view of one of the other kids, but the kid recognizes that the adults are like real uncomfortable with this because it's like, you can't have naughty children be involved with a Christmas play. And so then
they
try to find
also like a handful. The adults are like, how are we even going to do this?
There's several different ages. There's like some teenagers or young adults, like 12, 13 year olds in it. And then there's some like 7 or some 5 year olds. Like there's like 7 or 8 of these kids, and there's just way too much. They're too much of a handful, and they get thrown into all these different positions. They end up basically taking over the Christmas pageant. And it's just such an interesting, like, it's a comical look at the pageant, but also a very insightful look into the way that we approach Christmas and approach the story of Christmas mm-hmm. and the story of people belonging and just having that. There's like a whole bunch of different themes in it. It's like mm-hmm. Suffice to say, it's a Christmas related story. But it's like a very, very, very memorable one. Mm-hmm.
When I was trying to picture like Christmas stories, there's one that my mom used to read by Max Licato, and I had to Google it in order to figure out what it was. It was this one, The Crippled Lamb Max Licato.
Yes.
And I can't remember what the plot of it is off the top of my head, but I know, like, I recognize about, like, this cover, and I know we've read it lots at Christmas time.
Assuming
the lamb is hurt.
Well, yeah, the lamb can't walk, but then the shepherd goes and gets it, and then they end up in the barn where Jesus is born or something like that.
Jesus is born, touches the lamb's head, lamb's healed.
I don't think the story
just writes itself.
I don't think that.
And the lamb turns into wine.
Yikes. Yeah.
180.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's a Halloween story. another series of stories that we listened to as kids was the Vinyl Cafe, and that was a radio show that was hosted by a guy who wrote these exceptional stories. They were really short. They're like 20 minutes long, mm-hmm. maybe.
Stuart McLean.
Oh yeah.
And he wrote these, like, and it was like once a week, and mm-hmm. he had this like hour long show. He'd have guest musicians and then some like letters to kind of like letter to the editor kind of things mm-hmm. where people would write in experiences that they had, and he would kind of read them on air and have like a chuckle, or I think they were just like good stories, and mm-hmm. it was like a really good, like, it was a feel good show, and then he would always, or often I should say, have these little like 15 to 20 minute stories about a small town, mostly centered around a couple of families, but the one that stuck out to me that's like a Christmas related one is, there's a character named Dave, and he's always getting into trouble because he doesn't really think things through quite well, or he overthinks things. He's like, he's always on one side of the fence.
Really,
he's not
hard
on the fence. He's very good intention, well intentioned, but he's always way off to one side of the fence or the other. And that's how the stories mostly work, is that the characters in them just go they go the wrong direction, but they go so hard the wrong direction that it's like there's almost no turning back, and it just is so comical. And this story is him realizing that he has to cook this turkey.
Is that for Christmas or is that a Thanksgiving one?
I thought it was a Christmas one because there is a Thanksgiving one where he start out talking about Thanksgiving, and he makes a subtle comment at the beginning of that episode. He's like, Dave cooks the turkey now, and the crowd just loses it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's like a minute of just clapping, like unintentional clapping, just for like a minute, because this story is so, but I mean, it might be about Thanksgiving now, I'm questioning myself, but I thought it was Christmas, and he has to cook this turkey, but he didn't get the turkey ahead of time, and everybody sold out a turkey, and so he basically defaults to like going to this hotel and booking a room and then ordering room service and hoping that they can give him a whole turkey, and then trying to tell them like, I have to smuggle this turkey out of here, I can't like eat it in this hotel room, and then he has to like get it home in time for this meal, and it's just like this chaotic, ludicrous scenario no one would ever find themselves into but Dave. And the development of the characters in that story are just so funny. But like that's another very fond memory.
It does say it's a Christmas one.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, I do like that one. I didn't listen to those when I was a child, but I have heard several of them as an adult. And I think that those specifically are something that I've always thought that my mom would have really loved to do at Christmas, to play at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So they are close to my heart as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about commercialization. So let's think of Christmas commercials. When you think of Christmas and you think of like television advertisements, I know we don't see a lot of those, maybe YouTube advertisements.
Anymore.
Name some brands that always...
Coca-Cola.
Market towards Christmas. So Coca-Cola is for sure one. That's one I
Pepsi
had.
Pepsi does too, but Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Coke.
We got the oddest thing in the mail.
Oh.
We got from Amazon.
Oh, their wish list thing.
Yeah. This Amazon wish list thing. But so it's a flip book for kids to circle all the things you want for Christmas. But then they intersperse coloring pages and mazes.
It's like a high quality.
And it comes with a page of stickers in the back. But yeah. I was like, part of it just felt off-putting. That here's a free
activity book
for your kids where they can circle everything that they want for Christmas.
With advertisements.
And there's a QR code in every corner that links directly to the item so that you can add it to your cart.
No, it's 100%.
Wasn't this helpful?
It's 100%. Yeah. It's just exactly a gift catalog. I'm pretty sure it even says on the front that it's seasonal catalog.
An activity book.
Except it's marketing.
To keep kids.
Yeah.
It's got a list at the very back where they can write things down.
Yeah.
This is like the
just a little off.
I think this is the third year that they've done that. Mm-hmm. We've gotten them two or three. I think as long as we've been at our new location,
I've never gotten one before at our old address. So I think it's just
it's definitely not brand new, but it is new, in concept. And it is weird because it's Amazon.
Yeah.
But I mean, they used to do that with Sears.
There wasn't things to do in there.
Yeah. No.
We would look through
Lego.
The Sears
Lego
catalog.
Does a gift catalog in the fall or winter usually.
It was just it was the puzzles and mazes.
It was the cloaking
and stickers
of
and
the obvious this is a gift checklist book, but Sears catalog just seems a lot more upfront where it's obviously you're giving this to your kid for them to pick out what they want.
Look through this. We used to dog ear the pages we were interested in.
Well,
things,
and the prices,
and our parents would go through it afterwards.
The prices were right there on the Sears catalog.
Yeah, it's
but
not like
as I recall,
it.
On the Amazon one, you have to go through the QR code to get to the Amazon page
the website.
To see the prices because they can change the prices at any time.
Yeah, on the Amazon one, it had little letters beside each item that you could reference at the bottom of the pages to what the item was, but it wasn't a set price. I don't think because. Of course, the prices are going to shift.
Mm-hmm. Just feels a little shadier. A
little shadier.
I think it's very upfront.
Well, it's not upfront. You shouldn't need.
It's a catalog
to say that these are the things that I have, but you don't need activities to keep people
busy in the catalog.
In the catalog, so that they for sure go through it and continue to go through it.
That's what every catalog marketed
and continue to look at the things that they've circled and want them more and more and more. Right? That's shady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's just exactly what they're intending to do.
It is what they're intending to do. We're saying that their intentions are shady.
From a consumer standpoint, it appears shady.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least
it made me feel off put.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't been doing it longer.
Well, agreed.
That's
because they are shady.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like you're using shady in not the correct term because they're legitimately trying to market, and they're how do we keep people's attention?
We are
attentions?
Disagreeing with their marketing practices, I think.
This is the whole, Chris and I recently had a discussion about ethics in marketing and how he was saying that there aren't ethics in marketing.
Hence this topic.
And I was saying that there should be ethics in marketing.
There should be.
Because there isn't, and I'm not saying that there is, but there should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's things like this where it's you can be upfront about it. You can say these are the things that we have and everyone can be okay with that. But as soon as you start making it an activity for children, especially who are just going to whine about
they're
it to their parents constantly and be impressed that they're not going to be happy unless they get this item that they've been staring at because they've been doing this word search, you know, like that is using your marketing powers and abilities to
manipulate
and manipulate what people want, which is what marketing is about.
Advertisement is always about that,
but there should be limits on that,
especially with kids.
I think that's the one thing
where kids are in particular, they don't have their brains aren't fully developed yet. Heck, even 25-year-olds their brains aren't fully developed yet, but it still is. It's one of those things where it just feels a little icky at least.
I do think that there should be rules about it. Well, and Christmas is bad for that, right? Because Christmas is about, we're going to give gifts to each other. And so you want to know, or at least my family does this.
What they would like.
What would you like? Mm-hmm. Give me a list of 10 things. I might not get the things on that list, mm-hmm. but at least it gives me an idea of like what you don't have mm-hmm. and or mm-hmm. what you're actually wanting or what you've thought about during the year. And so we all give each other lists, and that's great. But if you have like regular TV or even are on YouTube or something like that, where you get a lot of advertisements all the time, then as a kid, you're like, I will not be happy unless I have unless this, particular thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And businesses are really good at advertising that mm-hmm. particular thing to make you want it more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do lists when I was growing up. Like, that wasn't a thing that we were... Like, it wasn't necessarily wrong, but it was
feel weird.
It wasn't encouraged.
If you're mm-hmm. if you don't
it
normally
wasn't,
do
it. Yeah, it wasn't something we with were our encouraged. Family, then it was like, oh, you're telling people what to get you? Then you're mm-hmm. just asking for a thing, which inherently doesn't seem like a bad thing, but also as kids, you know that you're just going to be asking for a thing that you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I want this, and you're right. If I don't get it, then I will probably be disappointed.
Yeah, like yeah. you knew what I wanted. There Why didn't you get that thing?
The couple of the couple of most impressionable Christmas presents that I had as a kid were things that when I got them, one of them I had an inkling that it might be coming, but I didn't know for sure. There mm-hmm. was no there was no guarantee. And then the other one was just out of the blue, and mm-hmm. and it like blew me away. Probably a couple of the monumental favorite Christmas presents that I've ever gotten. But that had to do with the people that gave them to me reading into me or reading from me what I was interested in or what my where my values were at that point in my mm-hmm. life, and like picking those gifts. And I think a lot of people, and myself included, I can be very lazy.
Mm.
Like, there are people like we're not quite at Christmas yet, but usually around the beginning of November, I already have a few gifts already purchased,
yeah.
but not the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them is going to be, you know, within the last month, like maybe starting Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and mm-hmm. onwards, then I'll start purchasing. And then it's going to be like a mad race to get them all to my address to give out to people
yeah.
if I have to order them from elsewhere. And so I get lazy and I go, this person has a TV and they like this show, so I'll get them another season of this show. You know, like, and then that might be the thought that I put into it, which
Whereas my
not the worst, not terrible. I'm not condemning people for doing that. It's just I'm saying for myself, I recognize that like beyond taking the time and the effort to read into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a million things that I wanted when I was a kid that were in those magazines, like Lego. We got Lego magazines.
Yeah.
Sears catalog. There was toys in the Sears catalog. And I remember seeing things and wanting them, but because that like list making thing wasn't a thing that was encouraged, I knew that it was likely that I wouldn't get those things. So they would be like wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, at the same time, I wasn't like heartbroken when I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that I was raised mm-hmm. and like, mm-hmm. I don't know how.
Yeah, I think like with my family growing up, I know that lists were never a thing that we really did like mm-hmm. at all. Like it was always very much like a you pick a gift based on what you know about the person and mm-hmm. hope that it's something that they like.
yeah.
And sometimes it's homemade, sometimes it's store-bought, whatever. Like, but it was never like a, yeah, here's your list. But I think that generally though did mean I believe that we did actually buy our gifts well before Christmas, that it wasn't like the week or day before. Mm-hmm. I know that though with Ashlyn's family,
yeah,
they're very list based, or at least they appreciate a list.
Yeah.
And it does help with that kind of like last minute quick let's get some presents, let's finish up our wrap up our store buying phase, because like it's less of a mad panic to try to wrap your head around what would this person possibly like when, you know, clearly.
Yeah, and generally, like, Mom, when you're listening to this, you can correct me. But I generally, most years, when it was just me and my brother, my brother would have no idea what he's getting for Christmas because he loves 1,000 little toys. And my parents will get him something of one of the genres of things that he loves, and he'll be head over heels about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was usually fairly pragmatic and knew like kind of what I wanted and knew kind of what my parents were on average going to spend on Christmas, you know, and like what was achievable, what was not achievable. And so I would generally ask for like one fairly specific thing.
Yeah.
And then make Mom sure it fell within the constraints. Mom would humor me to make me not think that that is exactly what I'm getting and ask me then like later on to be like, oh, I'm going to need a longer list than that, even though I know she didn't. So then I would add a few things to the list and she would always give me the first thing I mentioned because that was what I actually wanted Christmas. But just to give the illusion that I don't know exactly what it is when I feel like often I did.
That's fair. I don't remember getting or not getting the things on my lists. We mostly just use them for like reference. And it has definitely grown into a habit for me to, I keep a note on my phone of all of the people in my life. And when they mention something that that like throughout the year that they need or they want or would be cool to have or something like that, I just write it on under their name on my list. And then I use that as their Christmas list each year.
So handy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super handy. It's lovely because when you don't have something like that, you sit down and you think, like, when I buy for Chris, it's always just like, okay, first of all, how much do you want to spend? Because you can get incredible gifts like a real stinking lightsaber or something like that. But do I want to pay $1,000 for a lightsaber? Probably not. Sorry, honey.
Where you're buying this $1,000 lifesaver. I can think of them for much cheaper. I'll send you a few links.
Much cheaper, $699.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have to sit down and think like, which he sometimes does give me a list, but I generally don't want to use the things on the list.
That's Ashlyn's.
Yes.
100%.
Greg has very specific things that he does actually want for Christmas. Wow. And so he gives out that list freely. Like, please.
And they're on sale on Amazon right now.
Please get me these things. And occasionally he'll remind me, been like, hey, if you haven't got anything, this one on this list this is on sale is on and sale. You should buy
There's multiple
it.
Of them right now on sale.
And I hate getting him things from the list. I want to come up with my own idea of like something unique that I'm getting him that like shows that I'm interested in what he likes. But I'm not so interested in what he likes that I want to get something from his stupid list. So often I need to like I'll sometimes like get Greg like a few smaller items or something like that for Christmas. And at least one of them has to be from not the list or else I don't
feel
like I really did anything about it. I just like
that you creatively
an Amazon list
something.
And I clicked add to cart. That's all I did, you know, versus actually like going out and being like, oh, I think you would really like this or you really need one of these things or whatever and then going and finding that.
I like that too, but one of the things that I really like about the lists is that you can't have an amazing idea every year.
You can't
like you would end up trying to top yourself and that's also not what it's about.
Whereas this will always guarantee there's at least something
and if you absolutely are having a hard time like I love my husband but I cannot always have an excellent gift for him because that's just not like possible in the world. And so it is really nice to be able to be like, there are three things on this list that I have heard him talk about more than once that I know that he wants. I will get him those things. And that is okay because there shouldn't be pressure to like top your previous gift, even though it kind of feels that way.
It does feel like that for sure.
In society where it's like, oh, I have to get them the perfect gift. And commercials will talk about that too. You need the perfect gift for your dad or for your husband or whatever. And it's just like, no, you don't. You're supposed to show them that you
the
love
perfect
them.
Perfect gift is the love you already have for each other.
And sometimes
thanks, Greg.
Those advertisements where
it's
they want
enough.
You
how moral of you.
It's never enough.
Sometimes those advertisements where they want you to get like the perfect gift, they're kind of egging you on to say, this is a relationship that
it's
you
really,
really value.
Yeah.
You need to prove that through
gift giving,
through purchasing from us.
Yeah. You know, through giving us your money.
Which the five love languages, that book disproves that right away, because not everybody has the love language of gift.
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely not as good at all. If you're the kind of person that
like attends to those and like is like, yes, this is a thing that I believe.
Right.
Like if you don't follow those at all, then it doesn't mean anything. But like to what you were saying, Ashlyn, commercials will also give like unrealistic expectations, like things that aren't achievable. Mm-hmm. And the car commercial, there's always the car commercial, that's achievable because you can buy a car for somebody. But the thing I'm thinking of is what WestJet used to always, well, by always, I mean, they did for several years, which was they would do some variation of this event, which was a flight of people would get on a plane. And before getting on the plane, they would have this little interaction with some like digital, like an iPad or something, or Santa Claus projected onto a wall, and be like, ho, 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 what would you like for Christmas? And the kids will be like, oh, I really want a 32-inch TV and an Xbox 360. And it's like, that would be so cool. And what does mom and dad want for Christmas? I want a Ninja blender and I want a deep fryer. And they're like, oh, well, okay, I'll see what I can do. Merry Christmas. Get on a plane, land in their destination 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours later. And in the meantime, they have a team of people in BC where they're, where that plane is landing, go to all of the surrounding stores and buy a gift of almost exactly, if not exactly, the item that everybody has wished that for wanted. And send it out on the carousel when they land. And with this whole plane like of people, this whole plane of people now has this one huge item that, like, if they were, maybe they could afford it themselves, but like, could they afford 4 or 5 of these huge items themselves? Yeah. Even so, maybe. But like the fact that they have it now is this huge, overwhelming thing. And then WestJet's like, 'tis the season.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so what has that just done for me as somebody that has watched it? I'm incredibly jealous of those people right now.
Yeah. Why couldn't that have been my flight? Yeah.
WestJet is a great company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will consider booking them for my next flight. Not because I expect that to happen at all. Well, I'm flying in June, so there's no way.
No, that's fair.
But like it's just like it does so it's so like
well, they're preying on your emotional state.
Yeah.
Which is why there should be ethics in advertising.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say it might be considered manipulative, but then at the same time, when I sit and think about it, I go, it's a commercial. Like, that's what do we think? What do we expect that they're going to do? Yeah. Try to not sell us something?
Mm-hmm. Correct. They want you to actually give something away.
Yeah. Your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
They're not getting that from now.
It's true.
Yeah,
I see a lot of commercials, or we used to see a lot of commercials pre-COVID at Cineplex. Would always have like a Christmas themed commercial. Mm-hmm. It was always about making time to go home and spend with your family and probably watch some movies while you're at it. What the heck, you know? And like, come on down. I won't twist your arm. You do what you want, but come to the theater. It's we got fresh popcorn. making that a very enticing thing. Yeah, Coca-Cola. The North American concept of a fat man, old man, red suit, white beard, black belt, ho, 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 like the certain small elements of that still left over from like the traditional little jolly green elf concept of who Santa Claus was. He's this literal elf. That's why he has these like elves that work for him. He's this,
what?
He's an elf. He's a jolly old elf. That's what he is in the traditional story. Coca-Cola comes and goes, this is a very much more appealing vision of what Santa Claus is.
Old man Santa was made by Coke.
The one that we see nowadays that is sitting in the mall greeting your children. Yeah. That is a Coca-Cola conception.
I did not know that.
That is. Yeah.
Primarily.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, like Coca-Cola.
Twisting like several generations concept of
rather have a weird elf.
Must be describing like the mythological Santa Claus, like the elf, right? Yeah, but then there's also like Saint Nicholas, right? Where that's like it's the actual person who was a saint who you know, so I think that there's like a merging of different
but that Saint Nicholas wasn't this guy in a red suit with a like that aspect
maybe
of
he
it
had a beard
is a primarily Coca-Cola creation,
that's so interesting.
which is like boggling.
I it's interesting that they have such
and they use power him to sell their drink.
Yes, so. They use him to sell their drink, but they also use the polar bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and those are so Christmassy, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just because it's because
they're white and there's snow. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. But like I love those commercials.
Yeah,
the polar bears.
Frick, they're so cute.
As they're trying to paw, off the lid of the Coca-Cola bottle.
There's usually a little baby one too, yeah. And it's adorable. And you're just like, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't matter. It's Christmas.
Nope, it doesn't matter.
It is weird though that like I don't know where they got that idea of like let's merge Santa Claus with Coke. Like
yeah.
That there's like that's such a bizarre genius Coca-Cola a Christmas drink.
Because it's not in my head.
No.
It's just a Christmas brand.
Every single party that you ever had.
What Coca-Cola is they brand themselves after being this communal experience. Yes. And so you see the commercials where you have people with good food hanging out or friends hanging out. Guess what everybody has? Their own individual Coke. You're not sharing a 2-liter pop bottle on the table. Everybody has their own. Mm-hmm. They can take the sip of their own. They've each got this like
nice little experience.
This I dare say they probably manufactured the cans specifically to sound the way they want it, probably, you know.
I don't think so.
Most cans sound the same. Theirs is just a little bit different key or something, you know, like they'll go to so much or such great lengths to like tell you that like you're enjoying a Coke, but you're enjoying an experience, not a brand. Mm-hmm. We're not branding this. This is an experience, and you can have it. It's fully attainable. You just need to purchase this item.
I read or saw, I don't remember, it was a while ago, something that talked about how the best marketing companies or the best companies that have marketing that you can think of that has really like worked on the world don't actually sell their products. So think of Apple, where they talk about travel and they're talking about travel. They're talking about like experiencing new experiences and having adventure or car commercials where they're talking about the same thing.
And
they're actually selling their product. It's like you can have the perfect family with this idea. Rather than they're selling that this idea is what you should be going for because everybody's idea of that idea is slightly different. And so you can give a whole like schwack load of people a desire to have that thing because they can make it in their mind, their own personal thing of how that that adventure or that trip goes. But it just doesn't make sense to do it without your Apple phone because then you can't actually
Because if
document
they had
that.
If they had a commercial of you just sitting at home texting some friends, maybe, or
like
or
showing the functionality.
Like showing
of the
just
phone.
Like yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah, using the calculator or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Like just like the basic sort of things that are pulling out your calendar.
Because they do have some Apple does have some advertisements where they just do like 15.6 inch, you know,
and then
screen with the M2 chip or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not the majority of their ads.
They don't have people in those ads usually, right?
No,
isn't that just like a graphic that's just like and it's like zoomed in and it's like going into the chip and
for sure. So it's really interesting around Christmas because everybody wants that feeling of like coziness and unity and family. Of those feelings. And so it's easy for even companies who haven't gotten onto this train of we market feelings and events rather than our actual products. It's easy for other people to get on that train even though they haven't identified that that's what they're doing because they're jumping in on the idea of Christmas, which is so interrelated with our desire to be connected.
That's so funny because like community is free.
You can just get together with people.
You can just have people over. You don't even need to have food
but you have to give them a gift and there has to be a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but
and
like
you have to drive this car.
But what they're advertising is the best part.
And you have to take pictures of
is getting together with people. Mm-hmm. Like everything else is accessory to
that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Oh,
we've talked about this in an earlier episode, just recently, actually, how people don't base their community around their like actual community anymore. And so like gone are the days where like just being together and I'm not saying this from like a point of hubris that like I achieve this and other people my age don't. I definitely grew up in the era of where this was phasing out of, you know, societal norms was that people just hung out together. Like that happened when I was a kid. Like my parents have a lot of like people their age, maybe in their neighborhood that could just pop by and say hi. But people my age typically don't have like 100 people in their general vicinity that'll just come and hang out in their backyard or in their house or pop by for a visit. And so that like community isn't like actually that community. It's shifted to be more this like, I play Modern Warfare online with, you know, 12 other guys. And we're like this community of people that love to do that, but that they engage over that activity. And so they engage when they're doing that activity. And then like we have a larger group of our friends that we do get together outside of this, but we also typically get together for like big movie events and we'll go to the theater and watch a movie. And then there's people that get together for sporting events and they'll go together for sports and then they'll go to the bar afterwards. And then when they go home, they're just at home and then it's by themselves. And it's not a blanket statement that nobody has anybody over at their home ever, but
are you saying people don't really do what we are doing now, just like chatting
chat?
I actually think people do.
Different environments.
There's usually another activity
That's involved.
I would say like some people,
it's an event to go and be in community with people is what I'm saying. It's not like your default is not just there are people around and people that are involved in my life. I don't feel like that's the default. I feel like the default is, well, I can't really reach out and talk to that person, or I will reach out and talk to that person the next time we're at soccer together or the next time we're at this event together and maybe I'm projecting, I don't know, but like,
well,
but
that's like what like bars do is it's the commercialization of like socializing,
like community.
Like if you want to hang out with somebody, you can't just go hang out with them and go for a walk. No, you need to like go to the bar and then they'll,
it's more
like,
natural.
Like I was, I was at a licensed establishment last weekend with some friends, and like they have like
the local
cozy, like super hyper warm lighting in the area, and there was this like gas fireplace on the one side
to
and
make
the,
it feel like where
your
living room.
And then these like ultra high backed booths so that it was just you and like your friends private. Of like in this like private little room space. Almost, you know, but our drinks are very expensive, you know, like
But we do have happy hour coming up in 1 hour. Like commercialization. Do you find that it affects your shopping habits, or do you find yourself like with maybe I'll take a step backwards. Like when you walk into a store that is, you know, 2 days before Halloween, the Halloween aisle is basically gone already because everybody that wants Halloween stuff has probably bought it already and it's already being flipped for Christmas. Like all stores do this. Like you can't like, and when you go to a grocery store, the pumpkins are getting removed the week before Christmas because they're starting to go bad, or the week
Christmas
before Halloween
starts playing.
November 1st, Christmas, like you hear Christmas music November 1st, you walk in and there's like clearance items from Halloween and then a huge stack of items that are like Christmas and New Year's crackers even. Like we're just moving straight into the next season, whether we like it or not. Like, do you find that kind of stuff, like, gets you, like, riled up, like, increases your blood pressure and makes you, like, oh, no, I have to start buying things and I need to go out and buy things now? Or do you just mostly feel annoyed or aggravated by it, but you already have a plan in mind and you just stick with that? Like, do you find that the commercialization affects you, really, like, purchases?
Like, I can picture myself, like, going into the mall and seeing, like, suddenly everything's covered in snowflakes and they're trying to advertise all these things. I love the I love the coziness of Christmas, and so I am drawn to those things and being like, ooh, let me check out what they have. Look at this mug, it looks like a penguin with a scarf. And I they're always so cute and mm-hmm. so fun because they want it to be like fun and gift givey. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoy looking at those things. I don't think they make me like anxious inside and thinking that like, oh, I need to buy my father-in-law something. You know, I'm like, oh, look at that penguin, Craig.
Like, you don't feel like you're missing out because you're not already celebrating.
No, that's what I do later that evening when I come home and I open up the list on my phone of everyone I need to buy for. And then I open up my banking account and I'm like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah. 100%.
I enjoy getting like good gifts for other people.
Yeah.
You're good at it too, I might add. I think it's just because you're very thoughtful.
Well, I feel like I'm like on par, if not subpar. Like,
you're good at it.
But like, I feel like I get a lot of joy out of getting something that I feel like somebody will enjoy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't even necessarily care if they know that it's from me. Like, mm-hmm. I would love for them to know it's from me, but if I had to give a gift secretly, I would still do just as good of a job.
You well research your gifts, though. Yeah. Like Holly, now, I have received so many messages from Chris about Christmas gifts for you in the past. Oh, not this year. Nothing so far this year. Oh, where you've like ran something past me or asked me like what were the pros and cons of this or whatever, if it was something that I own.
Or like you two were talking about
Ember mug.
Oh yeah. Or there is other items that you have not seen that I have been asked questions about.
I might give them to her someday.
I will not list, but
yeah. Chris that's what I say.
Chris does his flipping research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thorough job.
I just want to. So for me, and this probably is me falling victim to, like, you don't have to give a good gift. It just has to be a thoughtful gift, and I'm like, BS. It has to be a good gift. Like,
okay, but you are gift also an Enneagram number one, which is a perfectionist, and you want to do perfection. Yeah,
you
on everything.
You enjoy even the research.
Oh
side
no, so sue me. I guess I'm getting somebody too good a gift. Like.
You but know, no, like, I don't see anything wrong. You're not, you're just emphasizing.
It stresses you out.
I think momentarily I do get stressed out when I start looking at all the people that we and I say want we have to buy to, for, but yeah, the people that we want to buy for. Yeah. but like, I also like to like change the plans up. Like if we have a couple of groups of friends that have lived in like a house together, so there's mm-hmm. like several of them in a house, and it's happened a few times, and so then it's like, do we get everybody a gift this year, or do we just get the house a gift?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. Like there's no real rule, and you know what, there's no rule that we have to get them a gift anyways. It's just a thing that, like, I think I can't remember, it was a number of years ago when I started to realize that we were giving you guys Christmas gifts and you would give me a gift on my birthday and maybe her a gift on her birthday, or maybe it was the other way around, where I would give you a gift, I would give Greg a gift on our collective birthday, and you a gift on your birthday, and then you would give us a Christmas gift, but we weren't like buying each other gifts for the same event for a few years in a row there. And I was like, I don't mind that. Like, I don't mind that we feel required to get each other gifts because it's like,
or that you don't feel required either.
Yeah, because it's not like really necessary. I'm like, I'm full on gonna get, like, we already got you a gift. I'm getting you a gift. Spoiler alert. But like, but like, it's because like
your gifts are already here.
It's fun. It's fun to do.
Yeah.
So there is like a moment when like when I see, the commercialized aspect of it, and I'm like, okay, I'm over this.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to walk through the store, and I don't want to be like greeted by somebody dressed up as something in front of every store. Like, mm-hmm. I can do without that, and I can just go on by. But I do also not find it so in gift giving so involved at any other point in the year.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes down to like October, November, December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if I got Greg something for his birthday, I would just take my time with it and find something and not worry about it. But if his birthday was at the end of December, like, crap, now the pressure's on kind of thing. So I think inherently it's given some or introduced some stress into the situation.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a thought, Holly?
I did, but I held onto it too long and now it has gone away.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry, guys.
Is it about me purchasing a gift for somebody? Or us purchasing gifts at the other time?
It's gone.
It happens. do you prefer to make your own presents or buy your own presents or like do a little bit?
I just find my anytime I make something, it's way less
not
good.
Crafty.
Like in my head, it's like, oh, this is good. And then you put it in reality and it's like, well, that looks like a kindergartner made that.
That is how I feel with every gift that I've given that I've made.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know that like my parents really, really like put it into us to like make your own like birthday cards and stuff and like,
oh,
like
that's
and
what actually it was about.
Like do like a drawing on the front or whatever yeah. and then write a nice note inside or put in like a Sudoku puzzle or mm-hmm. I don't know, a maze usually was what we did. And just do something a little maze inside.
Interesting.
So, yep. But I just like I don't do that anymore because it's just like it was so much stress. Like so I just I don't know. Like it was fun. It was good.
Yeah. Like, I like giving handmade gifts, but I haven't done that many because I'm not super crafty.
Yeah.
But every time
I feel like you
were
are
just crocheting what? Over there.
Or do you feel like you're not diversified in crafty?
I was gonna say, I've never given away a crochet gift, but that's also not true.
That's not true. You gave one to me.
And to my dad. Yeah. Okay. But I
Ashlyn has just realized she's a one trick wonder. It's a sobering moment.
My 1 year I was in like, I want to see grade 9 or something like that. Very little expendable income at that mm-hmm. age. But I wanted to get my mom a gift and I had been stressing all up until Christmas and it was like getting really close to Christmas and I had nothing for my mom. Mm. So for Christmas, I wrote my mom an essay about how much I loved her.
Oh my gosh.
How long is this essay?
She still has it.
With like specific stories
guaranteed.
Of times when
here's
like something
proof.
There's something that she did that I really remembered or mm-hmm. something like that. She bawled on Christmas morning, and I am confident that she still owns that 100% essay that I gave my mom for Christmas.
Yeah,
but it's stuff like that, like it was stuff I was proud of it, and I like finished writing it, and I was like, yeah, I did a good job, and mm-hmm. mom will really mm-hmm. like reading this, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. So I love giving handmade gifts, but I don't do tons of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if we did all the time, they wouldn't feel as special as we think of them as being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they would just be the thing that we do then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know, mm-hmm. like, some people who
have...
Yeah,
so we'd
go
and buy a gift to make it special. Oh, yeah. Is that what you think? Or, like, it would just be
well,
warm.
It would be the same thing as the difference between getting something off of a list or getting something that you think through really
I don't have a trade or anything. Some people who have like a specific trade can use that for Christmas gifts. You know, if you're a welder, woodworking, mm-hmm. baking, something like that, mm-hmm. where you do it professionally and you're very, very good and have access to the best tool so that what you're actually giving doesn't have the air of homemade. It is actually
the macaroni
like,
frame.
Exactly. Yeah. It is actually something quite nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remembered what my thought was from before when
Christmas
you said
cards.
Birthday cards. Mm. It is cards. Yeah. Cards in general. I think very little of cards.
Mm. Yeah.
Because almost always you pay like $5 for a card.
Exorbitant.
Or like $8 or $9 nowadays.
An enormous amount of money
so
for a
ridiculous.
Piece of paper that has a sentiment that you agree with but didn't come up with on your own. And then you put your name in it and you put their name in it. Yeah. And that's all you put in it.
Glittery cover.
It is the most impersonal thing ever.
I really, really hate cards.
And then you
if
don't
you're
keep
talking
them.
About, yeah, well, I certainly don't anyway. If you're talking about like Christmas cards where people have sent their pictures or whatever, I like that.
Yep.
You can receive them. You can put them on your fridge for the entire year. Like, that's great. But yeah, cards to put on gifts. I usually just write with a Sharpie to and from on the actual
gift.
That's
what I do as well.
Because it's just like, this mm-hmm. does not require a card. Unless you're going to write something actually mm-hmm. sentimental within the card. I think that cards are like the epitome of commercialization of Christmas.
Agreed.
Because it's this...
It's an exorbitant amount of money to spend on a piece of paper
that says a name.
Nothing.
Really. Yeah. You wrote your name at the bottom and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Pet peeve definitely is cards. Yeah. Store-bought cards. Which is understandable why my parents were like, make your own.
Yes.
Because then it actually like matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put some work into
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I always see ads for getaways or cruises. in the fall, winter. And they're obviously like geo-locked ads. Like, I'm getting them because I live in a region of the world where it's not warm. So they want to like, they want to like promote. But like, thankfully that like the whole traveling thing has not been a thing that I've ever like fallen into that hole, or at least not yet. I'm not like,
you don't
I'm
need
like
to oh, go on I have Christmas to go. Holiday.
Oh, I have to get away from here. I have to get away at Christmas, because then you just like miss out on, like, I don't love the shoveling and the like cold days, but like Christmas seems nicer with snow than without snow.
It's that's really maybe interesting.
That's just my perspective on it, because I live here, but
in a place that doesn't have what I am. What I would typically call a snow, like a Christmas season.
What we had to do when we lived in Africa.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be any snow.
Yeah. We went to Belize for Christmas once, and it was, it was very odd. Like, they put lights on the palm trees, but like, it was really, really interesting.
We never missed a Christmas, but we definitely missed a Thanksgiving, I think, one year, where it was like, oh yeah, it was getting a Thanksgiving. Cause like here you have those visual cues, even at the stores or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, whereas like there, it's like, So
I guess the commercialization helps you know when it's
helps
coming.
You remember that it's coming. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it does they provide that you. Sense of urgency that it is upon you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has come.
Winter is coming. And so is Christmas.
This whole, like, doing a holiday podcast episode is commercialization in itself. Like, we're dedicating a specific episode once a year. Outside
we're not
of the normal,
making any money on it.
No, but we're
unless
we're promoting ourselves. Okay, here's the pro tips to making a memorable holiday advertisement. As I found online. Step one: focus on selling an experience and not a brand. How does this sound? Gather your family, or take some time alone to yourself and grab a set of headphones, and while you're doing another task or just sitting around the house drinking a warm cup of whatever or a cup of eggnog, throw on the Housebound podcast and listen to our Christmas episodes. There's only three of them, and you can spend like three and a half to 4 hours max, less than the length of a single extended edition Lord of the Rings. Listen to all three episodes.
Are you suggesting to bring the family around?
I mean, bring the family around. Listen to Housebound.
Or by yourself, I said.
So that's
experience. Like, it's a podcast. Yeah, you're listening to our podcast, but you're spending time with your family. Yeah. Like, that's the slight onto it. I'm using us as an example.
Right.
Share a Christmas story. We've spent three episodes now talking about personalized Christmas things. I mean, this one was a little bit less, but we talked about Christmas gift giving traditions and other traditions from around the world in the past couple of episodes. Include a call to action. You can email at us at the Housebound podcast at gmail.com and tell us what you want for Christmas. Wish your viewers a happy holidays. I mean, we always sign off every episode, so I'm sure we could do the same thing with this. And the last one was use customer data to perfect your script and strategy. And it's like, that's the most, like, if none of the others were like blatantly underhanded, that's
happy holidays.
That's the big one.
Stevie, Janet, and Amy.
Hello, left bracket. Insert your name to your right bracket.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Like, well, so I looked at our podcast statistics to try to glean some kind of information we could use
beyond what we know
against our lovely viewers during the season of joy and peace and love. And the only actionable information I found was that people ingest our podcast, the Christmas episodes for the last 2 years, basically immediately upon release. So like the day or the day after.
Yeah.
And then an insignificant number of people afterwards listen to it.
Yeah.
So everybody that does want to listen to it has already listened to it well before. I think in the first year we released it December 1st, we had a whole bunch of people listen to it the first 2 days. And then the second episode we released, the second Christmas episode we released December 15th. And that one was listened to in the first couple of days. And so nobody's listening to it after that. So if we're trying to sell anything, it has to be like something that somebody can get right away before they lose interest, because they're not going to pick the episode back up and listen to it again just for funsies.
Unless they gather the family around.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to get each other? You can all get a subscription to Google Podcasts or something. Like, if you're on a family plan, there you go. Five gifts and you've only paid for it once. Mm-hmm. But the other piece of information that I found was that our season one Christmas special about gift giving continues to be the most listened to episode that we have ever released.
Wow. Really?
Like,
is that the one we had a giveaway?
Well, we've done giveaways in the last two holiday episodes. So it was one of those. Mm. I'm trying to think. The first one was the one that we gave away a escape room in a box kind of situation. Mm-hmm. That might have had something to do with it. It might have aligned with a lot of the values that listeners of ours happen to have, or just might have been because it was the first Christmas thing and it was notable. But it is like 50% more listened to than the next listened to episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I was like, okay, sure. I don't know what that's about. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we better just call her quits.
Do we need to call this one gift giving part two to like get people in?
You love the first one. Now try the sequel.
Yeah.
Housebound. Now with an opioid addiction.
I could post it and then I could like change the name of the episode three days or 4 days later so that if we've already sucked enough people in and then you just bait and switch with the name change. So that'll make them love us even more. That's what our analytics say. That's why when you purchase an item at any point in the year, they really push to get you signed up with like a mailing address or at least you go to the store and they go, do you have an account with us? And you say no. And they're like, okay, well, we need a postal code
or an email.
Well, something that doesn't like tie you to an account. So like a postal code so that they at least know what area of the city you're in so that they can like market that area larger. So like all of this stuff that they're doing throughout the rest of the year. And this goes for any season. So if it's Christmas, it's through the rest of the year that they're gathering this data and then they use it against you at Christmas time. If it's Easter, it's because they're gathering it the whole rest of the year and using it against you at Easter time. Mm-hmm. If it's your birthday, it's because they want to draw you in with that like free thing on your birthday. But it's not a significant thing on its own. So you're going to spend more money getting the rest of the meal. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to get the free upgrade, but you have to buy the base. Mm-hmm. Or you get the $50 gift card for the movie theater with $60 worth of goodies on return of investment of that, but you have to spend the $50 in the first place. And the things that they're giving you is like a lot of popcorn, which is so cheap for them to make.
Delicious. Yeah.
I don't know. I just found that last point like really interesting and to perfect the script. And so then I saw a bunch of commercials this year. I can't even remember really the brands because they're not brands I'm super familiar with, but there was one that's like, it's a commercial. It's about, a couple. Well, the commercials follows this guy trying to learn how to skateboard the entire time.
Okay.
And he's learning how to skateboard and he's like doing terrible at it. And he's obviously learning for a while. And then at the end of the commercial, they like, there's a ring at the doorbell and
ding dong.
There's a lady standing there when they open the door, and out from behind the lady's back steps this girl, and the girl has a skateboard in her arms. And she kind of looks into the house and sees this skateboard leaning against the wall. And the guy's got like a cast on his hand, I think, at that point, because he broke his wrist. And he's kind of like, oh, hey, yeah, I ride one of those too, or something like that. And it's like a bonding moment. I think it's supposed to be like an adoption story. And like this is this social worker bringing this child to live with them for the first time, and it's maybe just around the Christmas season or something like that. But like that and several other commercials that I've seen have all been around like spending time with family and like family and community is like the most important thing in the holiday season. And it's only our brand that could really tell you, like only our brand could give you such a gut wrenching story about family that you talk about it on your podcast without even knowing what the brand is 5 days later, or that you tell several other people because you remember the story and you're going to tell somebody else and then they're going to find out the brand and then they're going to you know,
or just have positive connotations with the brand. Like how many, like all the ads that you see in theaters that are, it's like a nondescript ad that's just like families getting together over the holidays and you're like, what is this for? And then the end is like Scotiabank.
Or no, like, there was definitely, I distinctly remember a movie and it was for independent store. Like
PC.
It was,
like
it was like Superstore or whatever. Yeah. And it was like, what? And you don't realize it till the very end when they splash the branding on it and you're like, okay, there was a turkey that you can buy at the supermarket, but
Or like there was a big one for co-op in the theaters for a while where the three girls take the road trip.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All roads and end all
the,
at co-op.
All the, the parents give them co-op gift cards as they go on the trip so they can use it wherever they
but
want.
But they're basically advertising the experience that they have with
on
their
the
friends alone for the first time.
Marketing is nuts.
It's crazy.
Anyways.
But so do you feel like, just to kind of wrap it up, do you feel like the marketing sours you towards the brands, or do you feel like you just take it as it comes and it's just part of the season, and then you turn around and you have like a four cases of Coke again? Like it doesn't even matter to you.
I feel like once you recognize these like tropes and things that are happening, I feel like it makes it just a little bit like it's
more palatable.
It's somewhat more palatable in the sense that I can now consume these advertisements in a more wise way where I know what they're doing, you know, and I know how they're manipulating the emotions or whatever. And so at least for myself, I feel I can be a little bit more like, watch things more wisely. Mm-hmm, so I think that's helpful.
Yeah, I am a white woman in her 20s, so they are advertising directly to me half the time.
Speaking to my heart.
Yeah. So a lot of times I really like those Christmas ads because they are targeting them at all the things I like, and I do like those things. So I'm generally not mad about it. I think we were talking earlier about that Amazon, you know, like activity book or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those things kind of
rub you the wrong way.
Those things rub me the wrong way for some reason. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like, if you want to have a cute ad about family getting together and family's what's important and then splash Apple
or and have a baby
whatever.
Polar bear come up, you know, and kind of waddle along. Yeah.
I think it's cute. So
I usually let the commercials make me feel the feels that they intend. Mm-hmm. And then I go, I'm not going to remember what they wanted me to buy anyway. Like, I just live in the moment too much that I don't, like, I remembered some of these ads, like the co-op ad or something like that, that it's for co-op, but I do not get gas at co-op. Like, I am not.
It hasn't, like,
it hasn't switched you over.
It hasn't changed your life.
No. Yeah. And it's possibly because I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that they're selling me a feeling and not a.
Do you think a lot of people just don't know that?
100%.
Or they're like oblivious to it?
I think people suspect and they like are, people aren't stupid, but they're also not, don't think about it.
Yeah. For sure. Because there are car commercials that are, what they sell you is definitely like, this car will get you to this place in your career or get you to this place and like have this kind of person in your life or whatever.
Yep.
And it's, and I don't think you like think about what exactly are they. I don't think you ever ask the question, what are they specifically selling me in the commercial versus what is the product that they're selling?
Yeah.
I've definitely, though, purchased things based on advertisements. Because like for example, one of many things, like Instagram ads were promoting this one type of overnight oats. Packages. I love oatmeal and I like overnight oats. And so they were these like fancy flavors of overnight oats that came in a little bag that you poured into. They had specially marked jars that had the mark that you like pour of milk right written on them or whatever.
Oh, man.
And I like clicked on that link so many times to look at what the prices are of those like little packets of overnight oats. And I wanted them because they looked really cute.
And did you buy them?
I took some self-control to not buy them. But then the other day I was at HomeSense.
Yeah.
And they always have like random brands of things. And so they had boxes of this oatmeal. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna get it. And I got it purely because of the advertisement, you know. And I can't even say how many times I've mentioned to Greg that I was like, oh, I just really wanted to like eat this thing or go out for this treat or whatever because Facebook told me I wanted it. And so many times I do like crave like a certain food item or want to go do a certain thing because I saw an ad. And
we all know
look like a lot of fun.
The food in those images looks so much better than
good because it's fake.
It's fake. Yeah.
And when I say it's fake, I mean
it's
like
totally it's fake.
The it's chicken edible. Fingers yeah. are not coated with barbecue sauce. They are coated with motor oil.
Yeah.
Because motor oil is shinier than barbecue sauce.
Episode of marketing of like visual marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Like it is really interesting how good they can make food look when it is completely unedible.
Inedible.
Inedible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that advertising works for several reasons, right? Like one is they sell you the thing that you want that's not the item. Right? Like you want the freedom that a vehicle will give you or something like that.
Yeah.
And one is that it is something that you would actually use.
Mm-hmm.
And you can eat oatmeal and you can have it and experience it. And you might love that product and continue to buy it. Or you might be like, these advertisements lied and it wasn't as good as I thought it was. And I won't buy it again. But it's when they are marketing, well, specifically to kids, but like to adults as well, when like nobody is paying attention and it just becomes this craze where you must have something that it becomes like dangerous. And I think it's easy to do at Christmas time because
you can't get together and not get anybody presents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if you when's the last like family Christmas party that you've gotten together with,
and
even
then
just
stick
your,
with that.
Yeah.
Even just your core family and you just haven't. Nobody's
not
bought
be
each
like
other
Michael
presents.
Scott and
that would have
buy,
to be like a specific decision
iPod
made
whatever.
Well ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah. Because like the default is that you do that. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it just shows how much we've.
Why I don't really enjoy the whole like white elephant like thing where it's like.
The gift exchange?
I don't like it because it breeds hostility in me. it's like. Because
I got a gift that was lesser than somebody else's?
Yeah. They're or all... somebody stole it from me. Oh, I had the good gift, and then somebody took it.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. In my heart, it doesn't breed Christmas.
Does not
it
spark
breeds,
joy.
No. Well, it sparks other things. So
sparks emotions.
Exactly. So yeah,
that's funny. I don't mind that, but one of the things that I don't like about those is that there's always a monetary limit on them, and that is great. Because you don't want somebody to do
Michael Scott
and get like something extremely better than everybody else's.
Yeah.
But it's also terrible when it's $20. There's no great things that I want to fight over for $20.
So it's going to be a crappy gift. So why are we doing it? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's
a waste of my time. If all I'm going to get is chocolate cigarettes or something stupid.
Yeah.
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 That's fair.
Well, the last like hour and a quarter or an hour and 20 minutes or so hopefully wasn't a waste of your time.
Hopefully not.
Wow, way to really sell it, Chris.
We're hilarious. Listen to us more. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this podcast and listening to our wonderful voices serenade you this ode to Christmas.
As you sit by the fire, as it crackles and you drink a hot cup of tea.
At your favorite restaurant?
Cocoa.
The fire at your favorite restaurant. Right?
Yeah. With your friends.
With your friends.
Yeah. And your podcast.
Drinking hot chocolate.
You could listen to the podcast on the way to visit your friends in the car. With the snow just
gently
like,
falling.
When it's nighttime and the snow's falling and it looks like
you're
sparkles
not worried about
the
roads.
The air.
Yeah,
you're
don't drive at
confident
night. You're fine. Leave a little bit early.
So if you want to experience this rich Christmas experience with us and during any other time of the year.
Exclusive only at Christmas. Available only at Christmas.
Yeah, you can find us. We're at Anchor FM. We have a page there where you can send us audio messages, which is kind of fun. We are also available at thehousebound podcast@gmail.com. Or was it Housebound Podcast? Or
yeah, the Housebound Podcast.
Because we are the only ones.
And we are also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all streaming platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, we are there.
I've found some podcasts. Networks that I was not even aware existed that we are on. I think they just take our link from another site and repost it.
That's really interesting.
So we can literally be wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah. Like
wherever good podcasts are heard.
Or yeah. And maybe more places than just good podcasts.
Yikes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a happy new year.
Ho, 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 ho.